been thinking about you since they asked me to come and share. Thinking about those that would be here tonight. Obviously, I don't know your names, but I know the God who knows your name. And I've been praying and just asking God to help me to just be very simple tonight. If you came looking for eloquence, I'm going to disappoint you. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can change anybody. That's all I am. And I felt the weight of those that would come in tonight. Those that are struggling. Those that are cutting themselves. Those that are stuck in pornography. Those that are stuck in debt and don't know any way out. Those that are in a helpless and loveless marriage. Those that are struggling with children in their homes that are rebellious. And those that just have lost all hope that anything could be different. Those that are stuck in a dark pit, thinking and wondering, is there a God that is out there that knows me? Is there a God? Is he real? Well, I'm here to tell you that there is a God. I'm here to tell you that he does know you. And I'm here to tell you that he's touched with the infirmities of his people. I'm here to tell you that he loves you with an everlasting love. I'm here to tell you that he can break any prison door. He can set any person free. He can heal the broken heart. He can do amazing things, and he's still alive. This man that I want to call, that you know his name is Jesus, when he was born, there was an angel that proclaimed his coming. And the angel told Joseph in the book of Matthew, he says, and his name shall be called Jesus. Among all the other names, his name will be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And the Bible tells us that this Jesus was supernatural. He did things that we're still talking about today. And this Jesus, it was clear, he said that he would save his people. Now notice, although he's the Lamb of God that came for all the people of the world, he died for all the sins of the world, he will only save his people. You see, everybody is not his people. We have to choose to be chosen. We have to choose to be adopted by him. We have to be willing to surrender and say, God, that's it. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of turning away from you. I want to be called by your name. Because he will save his people from their sins. Now turn with me, if you will, for the book of Luke. I just want to share a thought that's on my heart about the day that Jesus came to church and preached a sermon. The day that Jesus came to our church to preach. It's found in the book of Luke, chapter 4. When you get it, say amen. Amen. Now here is, before I tell you the scripture, here is Jesus. He arrives at the scene of this congregation, this church, and he's attending a worship service, if you will, just like any other day. But since it's Jesus, he's normal. He's not usual. He's always other than we are. And so anything could happen when he shows up. Amen. Anything could happen when he shows up. And somebody must have noticed that he was there, and they asked him to come up and share some words. As if Jesus walked in tonight and was sitting, and we noticed that it was him, and we said, Jesus, why don't you preach tonight? And we're going to take a seat. And so the congregation, the people that were there, were waiting to see what he would say. I'm wondering what they were thinking. I'm wondering what they're thinking about. What is Jesus going to preach about? What is he going to share with us? Is he going to talk to us about Moses and how he opened the Red Sea? Is he going to talk to us about Elijah and how he called down fire from heaven? What's he going to talk to us about? Is he going to bring us a word from heaven? Too many people looking for a word from heaven and don't want to obey once they get the word. You can do better than that. Amen. You can do better than that. Listen. No sense getting a word if you ain't going to do nothing with it. And so he was asked to share some words from scripture and to give us something, some truth that we can apply to our lives, something that would be relevant and, you know, whatever it would be on his mind to share with us. And so Jesus comes in, and Jesus is not interested in just speaking the truth. He is the truth. He's the embodiment of truth. He's not interested in bringing out and giving platitudes or giving some nice things that you can be practical about. He's not just here to reform your ways. He's here to transform your ways. That's what Jesus is in the business of doing. So let's go to Luke 4 and see what he preached that day. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up and read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled that scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And he said, then they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Look up for a second. So he comes in, and of all the things that he could have preached on that day, he looks at Isaiah 61. It's the epitome of why he came. When you want to know why Jesus came, look at Isaiah 61. The Bible says the first thing was he came to proclaim the good news. The good news in a world that has all of bad news. He came to declare and to shout the good news. To who? To the poor. To the poor. To those that are spiritually bankrupt. To those that are oppressed. Those that are needy. Those that are weak. Those that are dependent. To those that are feeling like they're outcast, those are the ones that he came for to tell you that you're in a good place. If you feel like you're broke tonight, look, I know it's not, you know, some of us have been broke for a season, but there are some people that have been materially broke for a long time, and it's not a good place to be. But I tell you what, when you're broke, you know what it is to be in need. You know what it is to have a need, and you need to be praying and asking God to do something. Amen? And when we're broke, there's a humility that comes into our life because we know that we have a need. You see, when you are rich, you feel like you don't have a need. I'd rather be broke and know that I need God than to be rich and not know anything about God. My Bible tells me, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet lose his soul? Nothing. You didn't bring it with you, and you can't take it with you. So he comes to speak to those who are oppressed. But the audience that day, the audience that was there, those people looked like they wanted to hear from Jesus. They looked like they wanted to follow Jesus. But this group, they had their fill of religion. They were just good enough in their own eyes. They were rich in their own ways. They had everything they wanted. They had stature. They were the people of God, and they didn't really need Jesus. They had just enough of God to make themselves feel good about themselves. Oh, listen, folks, let me just tell you something. Newsflash. There are going to be a lot of good people and a lot of religious people that will not spend eternity with God. Amen. Now, that's a hard word, but I've come to tell you the truth tonight. I've come to let you know that there is a way out, and Jesus is that way. They had just a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of God, and that was okay for them. The next thing he did, he said he came to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted. Folks, all around this sanctuary today, there are people that have a broken heart. There are people that are trying to fix that broken heart. They're trying to find a way to mend it. They're looking for drugs. They're looking to pornography. They're going to the psychiatrist. They're looking to entertainment. They're trying to fill that broken heart with all kinds of things. But let me tell you something. This word the original thought in this scripture, in this sentence about the heart being so broken. This heart is so broken that it's shattered in 1,000 pieces, and no amount of crazy glue can put it together. No amount of bandages, no amount of patchwork can put it together. It is broken beyond repair, and there's only one person that knows how to put all the pieces back together. And Jesus is the one that says, I have come to heal the brokenhearted. Stop looking to other things to try to get that heart fixed. Come to me and I'll put it back together again. Not only will I put it back together again, I will fill that heart with love and compassion and joy. I will fill that heart with everything it's looking for. Now, let me tell you something else. I heard the word broken from Earl and from Angel. There's a lot of broken people even in the house of God. And I don't know what it is, but we run from it because none of us wants to feel like we're helpless. When did the church become a place where only the strong survive? When did the church become a place that we have to come in and act like everything is okay when we know it's not? When did the church become something other than a hospital? This is a hospital for people that are broken to come in and get healing for their soul. This is not a place where we come in and make believe and act like everything is okay. This is a place where the healing waters of heaven are coming down and are filling people. If you're broken tonight, there's good news. God is attracted to brokenness. God is not afraid of brokenness. God is attracted by it. And he doesn't use crazy glue. No, he knows how to do it well. Let me remind you that he always uses the broken. He used broken fishing nets. He used broken bread. He used the broken ship. He used broken wood to get Paul to safety. He used a broken roof to provide healing for somebody. And he used the broken body of his son to provide healing for every person in this house. So you get the picture. If you're broken, you're in a good place. If you're poor and broke, you're in a good place. He came to provide recovery of the sight of the blind, recovery of sight, recovery of being able to see who God is. A lot of us pray, God, I know, I hear that you're real, but I want to see you. I want to know who you are. Guess what? Jesus came so that you would know who God was in the flesh. You want to know who God is? Look at me. That's who he is. Look at my love. Look at my compassion. Look at everywhere I went. I healed everybody that came into my, everybody that was looking for healing, I healed them. That's who God is, compassion. He never rejected people. He never turned people away. Even when where they were at their darkest point, you remember the woman that came caught in adultery. He didn't kick her out. He said, where are the people that condemn you? He was there for her. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives. If you're here tonight and you feel like you're captive, he came to proclaim liberty over your life. He came like the judge and says, you are free. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. He came because his court is the only court that matters, folks. It's the court of heaven. And when he declares something, it's done. It's over. There's no appeal. There's no appeal. He came to unlock prison doors. Every prison door known to man, he came to unlock. Oh, folks, listen, I don't care what prison you find yourself in tonight. I don't care what cave you find yourself in. I don't care how far you think you are from God. His arm is not too short to find you. God's eyes run through and through the earth looking for someone that he can show himself strong on their behalf. He's looking for somebody tonight. I don't care what pit you find yourself in. My Jesus has the keys to every prison door. And if by chance there is a prison that you're in where you don't find the door, the devil tells you there is no door to this prison. There is no key for this prison. My Jesus knows how to come through the walls and get you out. Hallelujah. You see, the devil may be telling you, no, this prison is like Alcatraz. Nobody gets out of this place. Well, you need to tell the devil to die that your God doesn't need keys and he doesn't need anything. He knows how to get me out. You're not convinced. He knows how to get you out. He can walk on water. He can turn water into wine. He can do anything. Somebody say yes.
Yes.
Yes, he can. Yes, he can. He brought good news to these people that day. And Isaiah 61 goes on to talk about he's going to give you beauty for your ashes. He's going to give you the oil of gladness for your heaviness, for your mourning. He's going to give you the garment of praise for your heaviness. He came to do a trade. You see, we're in baseball season. Any baseball fans out here tonight? Any baseball fans? Okay. You better be Yankee fans, not the Mets, all right? I mean, I'm telling you right now. We'll pray for you, buddy. We'll pray for you if you're a Mets fan. So listen, he right now they're making trades in the baseball world. And they're trying to, every general manager is trying to one-up the other guy. They're always looking for the best deal for them, never mind the other people. Always looking for something that benefits them and forget about the other guy. You know that Jesus is not like that. You see, the trades that Jesus does, he says, give me your junk and I'll give you something better in return. Give me your junk and I'll give you something better in return. Give me your junk. Amen. Well, here's the bad news. He comes into this church. He preaches a sermon. They should have been shouting hallelujah because he was not talking about revival. He was not talking about the Messiah coming. He was saying the Messiah is here. I'm here and I'm fulfilling the promise. I'm here. I'm in your midst. I've come to set captives free. I've come to heal. I'm here in your midst. You know, they were content with just talking about revival and talking about the stories. Folks, some of you right now are content with just coming to church and hearing about what happened with Elijah and hearing about what happened with Moses. But some of you got to get desperate and say, forget about all that. I want to see Jesus when I come to church. I want to have an encounter with him. I can't leave the same. I can't continue in this situation. I need Jesus and I need him now. Some of you got to get desperate and be like that woman with the issue of blood and say, I don't care what's in my way. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment today. So here's the bad news. Even though he gave him a great sermon, even though he was the fulfillment of the promise, people there were unmoved. They were unwilling to believe him. And I was reminded of Esau, how he traded the favor of God for a bowl of soup. And then, many years later, when he realized the mistake that he had committed, he sought the blessing of God through pleading and weeping, but he was rejected. I was reminded of Judas and how he walked with Jesus for 3+ years. And heard and saw all the good things and the miraculous and sat at the master's table. And I'm reminded that day, it talks about in John 13 and 14 and 15, but in John 13, Jesus says, not everybody here is clean. And yet he washes Judas. And then he says, one of you here is going to betray me. And he's doing this so that Judas would be moved to repentance. He's given him the bread from his table and saying, this is my body, Judas, broken for you so that you can be free, so that you can be saved. And Judas, he wants the 30 shekels instead. What are you trading the blessing of God for tonight? What are you trading God for tonight? You know that everything that is here on this world is temporary. You know that God provides us something that is so much more valuable. You know, some of you here tonight, you know, you're a businessman. You're trading the joy of your family for business success. You might be married and trading the joys of your intimacy with your wife for something, some momentary pleasure somewhere else. You may be here and you're stuck in pornography because you think that gives you momentary joy, and you're trading the blessing of God in your life for that. Jesus is offering a trade tonight, church. He's saying, come and bring me your ashes and I will give you beauty in return. Bring me your disability and I will give you ability. Give me your sin and your rebellion and I will give you forgiveness and cleansing. Give me your broken promises and your mistakes and I will give you freedom. Give me the deadness in your life and I will give resurrection life. Come to me without money and without price and I will give you everything that you're needing. Because I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord. I am the beginning and the end. There is none like me and none before me. I am your safe harbor in the midst of the storm. My name is Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi. Death cannot consume me. Life cannot outlast me. I am indescribable, incomprehensible, irresistible, and invincible. And I am Jesus, your Savior. I'm Jesus, your Savior. And I've come so that you might have life. So I don't think I need to say any more tonight. Jesus is here offering a trade. But don't come for the trade. Come for him. Come for him, the pearl of great worth. Come to the altar if you can recognize before everybody that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm not calling people to come to his altar so you can feel good about yourself. I'm calling sinners to come to Jesus. That's what I'm calling. Because without repentance, there's no salvation. I'm calling for people to come because he loves you. He died for you. He wants to do something great in your life. He wants to give you a new mind, a new heart, a new start. I'm going to call the worship team. Let's bow our heads tonight. And who is Jesus? He's the long-awaited Messiah. What is sin? Anything that violates God's law and righteous requirements. Things that we've done and things that we haven't done. Why did he have to die? To fulfill the scriptures and to pay the penalty for my sin. He was buried and he raised the third day according to the scripture. Why do we need a Savior? Because through the disobedience of one man, we were all declared sinners. And through the obedience of one man, we're all declared righteous. Jesus died for our sins and according to the scriptures. And he was buried, he was raised on the third day. According to the scriptures, so that all who come to him might find a refuge. So I'm going to open up the altar tonight, and I'm going to challenge every person that has heard from Christ tonight to come and meet me at this altar, and I'm just going to ask you to stand and make way for those that are coming. Let's stand. And let's just come. Tonight, church, while they're coming, let's pray that those that are in our midst that need to be saved, that God will bring them. Let's pray for salvation tonight. We're here for souls tonight. We're here for souls, for every soul that would come and say yes to Jesus. I got a 2-year-old little girl in my house with us for a couple of weeks now, and she, when she wants me to pick her up, she goes like this, and then she starts saying daddy, even though I'm not her daddy. She wants me to pick her up. How could you say no to that? Amen. Tonight, those that are at the altar, we're going to go like this and say, God, we have come tonight We want you to pick us up, Lord. We want you to set the captive free. God, we want you to mend our broken heart tonight. God, your word says that you would give us a new heart and a new mind, and you would cause us to walk with you. Lord, you would do this. We wouldn't do it. You would make us clean before you. You would save us. You would forgive us. God, you would untangle us. Hallelujah. And tonight we lift up our hands to you, Lord, declaring that we surrender. God, we surrender. We stop running tonight, Lord. We want you to come in and do what you have promised. You said you would open up our graves and bring us out, oh God. And so now tonight, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do with these that are at this altar. Father, I'm asking tonight that you would touch every heart in this place. Now, those that are at the altar, just pray with me. Lord Jesus, tonight, I've heard your word. I believe it. I confess with my mouth that I have done things contrary to your law, to your word. But tonight, I have heard the truth that you came to set me free. You came to forgive me, die on a cross so that I would be free. Tonight, I accept that sacrifice in my place. If you would have me tonight, Lord, write my name on the Lamb's Book of Life and baptize me with your Holy Spirit and fire so that I would walk with you. Now, Father, I just pray for these that are at this altar. God, this is not magical, but something is happening in the spirit realm. Lord, and I know that tonight people are on the right track for the first time in a long time. Father, tonight you are making, God, you are setting hell on notice that these lives are yours. We claim them for your kingdom. God, tonight the word that's been planted is going to be sealed in their life tonight. God, every soul will live for you from this day forward. Hallelujah. God, every soul, man, woman, and children tonight, Lord, that you would put in them a vision of who you are and what you want to do. That you would put a fire in them, God, to consume everything that's not like you. And God, light the path before them. Hallelujah. Father, we're praying tonight that you would put a hunger and a thirst in their lives for you. Not for religion, but for you. God, that they would know you in an intimate place. Speak to them, Lord God. Save them, protect them. I pray in the name of Jesus tonight. And everybody said amen.